Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to deviate from the medical problems that we talked about last time to just turn our thoughts toward the Christmas time. Amen. So don't stone me. You probably are thankful that I'm not continuing with that because of the holiday the schedule and the foods that we eat. Amen. But we're going to postpone that for now and turn our thoughts towards Christmas. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be talking about the gift of the gospel. The gift of the gospel today. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, and if you are there, say amen. If you need a few more minutes, say oh me. 1 Corinthians 15. All right. Looks like everybody is there. Talking about the gift of the gospel. Start reading with me in verse number 1. We're going to read the first 4 verses, and the topic is going to be the gift of the gospel. Starting in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. Tell you, if you know anything about the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with several issues. And the beginning chapters, 1 through 4, he dealt with divisions in the church. And then we look at chapters 5 and 6, he dealt with discipline in the church. And then coming to chapters 7 through 14, he addresses various difficulties that happen in the church. Coming to chapter 15, then he comes to an area dealing with their disbelief in the resurrection. And dealing with it from two aspects, the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of Christians. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I was very curious about the resurrection of Christians because I was one. Amen. And I was concerned about that. And, you know, I listened to a take from the Mormons, and their take didn't sound like the biblical account. The biblical account, amen. And after I got into the Word of God, it made a whole lot more sense. Looking at what God says as opposed to what man says. Amen. And so today we're going to look at the gift of the gospel. And the gift of the gospel is God's extraordinary news for our ordinary need. Of course, you know, we're talking about extraordinary God using ordinary people. He gives us some extraordinary news for an ordinary need of salvation. And we're going to turn our thoughts towards Christmas to talk about the gift that just keeps on giving. Amen. Father, bless now the next moments that we have. Lord, get our minds and our hearts in tune to listen today. Lord, not just to understand with our head, but to comprehend with our heart. We may do the will and the word and the work of God. Well, the gospel is the free gift that's given to us, Lord, but just because it's given does not mean that everyone is going to receive it. God, help us to see just the aspect of this free gift and how the gospel means so much to us as it meant to the Apostle Paul and as it means to you. Then, Lord, help us to magnify that gift by sharing that free gift with others that are around us during this time of the year. This is a time when many are sad and some are down and some just don't have any hope. But, Lord, we have the hope of eternal life. Help us to be able to share with this Christmas season the joy of Jesus Christ, the gift of God, which keeps on giving. Lord, I do pray that our minds would be arrested, our hearts would be stilled, and the word of God would settle in our hearts in such a way that we would reminisce of the gift that we have been given. And then, Lord, reciprocate by giving that free gift to someone else. We thank you again for loving us, Lord. If there is one today amongst us, man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has never received Christ, then I pray today they would open their hearts and receive Christ, for it's everlasting too late, Lord. And getting saved is the greatest gift that you've given to mankind. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, minister in us, minister through us, Lord, that you may use this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And by the way, we've done many different things here at the Shining Light Baptist Church throughout our years. This is our 19th year. We had Thanksgiving dinners here at the church. We changed our time from Sunday evenings at 6 to 5. Changed our Wednesday evening from 7 to 6. We've done so many different things here. Sometimes we'll have a service on Tuesday like we'll do over the Christmas holidays. Sometimes we only have one service for Father's Day and one service for Mother's Day. That was a change. So many things have changed. But you know one thing that hasn't changed here? The gospel. The gospel. We still believe the gospel saves lives. Amen. Now, churches can do what they want to do. They can dummy down the gospel. They cannot give the gospel. They can give this lifestyle evangelism. And they cannot mention the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But guess what? We're going to mention it here. Amen. And so, although we've done many things throughout the years, and we've changed many things throughout the years, amen. And by the way, I've changed throughout the years. People say, yeah, preacher, you're just as mean as ever, amen. No. I've gotten a little wiser, amen, over the years, and I think I'm a little kinder. Won't y'all say that? Amen. You know, when I first started this church, amen, hey, if your feet didn't match, you were out the door, amen. I'm sorry. And by the way, y'all feet don't match. You got a right one and a left one. Some of y'all just got that, amen. Hey, I preach against everything under the sun, amen. And if you're not right with God, then get right or get left, amen. I have calmed down so much from that. So y'all say, yeah, not much, preacher, not much, amen. But the gospel of Jesus Christ has been our consistent thing for the past 18 years. And going into this 19th year, guess what's going to be consistent? The gospel. Nothing's going to change about that. We may change our theme and talk about it in a different way, but guess what the theme is still going to be? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said on here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Amen. And I'm so glad that that's going to continue to be our theme. Amen. Let me give you a couple reasons here, introductory, as to why the gospel is going to be our consistent theme here in the years to come. If you know anything about Jesus and his preaching in Mark 16:15, he said what? Go ye therefore where? Into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Jesus said, look, my last command should be your first concern. Go ye everywhere, preach the gospel. Amen. Paul added to that in Romans 1:16 and said it this way, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Notice this, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is going to continue to be consistent. Why? Jesus said to preach the gospel. Paul said it's the power of God and salvation to who? To everyone that believes. So if I don't preach the gospel, guess what? They can't believe the gospel. But if I preach the gospel, as Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then guess what? They can believe the gospel. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. Friends, you can't get saved without the gospel. Amen. You've got to know about the death of Jesus Christ, his burial, and his resurrection for your sins and my sins. If you don't know that, you can't get saved. Well, I just believe in the big man upstairs. Well, you go to a big hell below too, amen? It doesn't work that way. I need the cross. I need a payment for my sins. I'm a sinner. I've got a penalty. Somebody's got to pay. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So why is the gospel being consistent these past 18 years and into this 19th year? Why would it be consistent? Because Jesus said to preach the gospel, and Paul added, the gospel is the power of God. But then if we're going to talk about the gift of the gospel, what does gospel mean? Of course, we have the generic term, it means good news. Well, let me give you something here. The word gospel comes from the Anglo-Saxon word God spell, meaning God story. The Greek word is where we get our word evangel from, and it means literally a good message or a good messenger. So the gospel is the great story of God that is to be preached as by a messenger dispatched from God. By the way, when you and I get saved, guess what we are? Messengers dispatched from God to preach the gospel. Amen. And what is that? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when you look at the gospel, it is that great story of God. How, by the way, the whole Old Testament is pointing towards the gospel.
Christ coming in some way, shape, fashion, or form. You read the Old Testament, a lot of it may seem hard to understand. It may seem a little ambiguous, but guess what? It's pointing to Jesus Christ in some way, shape, fashion, or form. You research and look at what's going on. It's pointing to him in some way. Amen. So what does the gospel mean? The word gospel is normally used in the sense of good news or glad tidings. Wait a minute, this good message is specifically God's story sent to those without Christ from a loving, caring, and saving God. By the way, I was one that the gospel was sent to. And if you once were lost, which you were, it was sent to you. Why was it sent to you? Because God loves you. And God wanted to save you. And God knew you couldn't save yourself. Amen. There's something about a person drowning. They can't save themselves. If they could, they wouldn't be drowning. That makes sense to y'all? Amen. There's something about someone getting ready to get eaten by a shark while they're drowning. If they could save themselves, they wouldn't be in danger or jeopardy. But because they are in jeopardy, they need an outside force to save them. By the way, you and I need someone to save us. His name is Jesus Christ, and that is the gospel, the good news. He died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again the next day. Amen. Think about some good news you may have heard in your lifetime. You know, when I think of good news other than the gospel, there's several things that come to my mind. I think of my motorcycle that I got when I was in eighth grade. My dad had collaborated with my grandpa and said, look, if the boy gets great straight A's, we're going to get him a motorcycle. And you know what the boy did? The boy studied. The boy went without Bugs Bunny for a while. The boy went without the Three Stooges for a while. The boy went without Scooby-Doo for a while. The boy went without all those Hanna-Barbera, there you go, amen. I know it was something like that, amen. Went without some Flintstones for a while and got to studying. Can you imagine eighth grade boy studying? That just seems like it's contradictory. Eighth grade boys just, they don't want to study. For that matter, most boys don't want to study. But I studied. And guess what? I came to Dad and Grandpa. I said, look, I got my report card. I want to hear some good news. They said, what you want to hear, boy? I want to hear that motorcycle down there that I pointed out, that Honda. I want that motorcycle. Look. Read and weep. They said, you really did it, didn't you? I said, yeah, I did it. I said, no, what's that good news? Boy, you get your motorcycle. Yes! Man, you talking about somebody out there. And as soon as I brought it home, my dad said, let me test it out. And he ran smack through the fence with it. He said, they don't make them like they used to. I'm going to have to make this one all over again. He even ran through the fence. I mean, we had one of those big 6-foot picket fences, and he knocked out a whole section. Pow! And I'll never forget my first words after he ran through the picket fence with my brand new Good News bike. I said, my bike! My dad struggled off the ground and said, your bike? What about your dad? He said, you can get another bike. You can't get another dad. I said, well, must have had an out-of-body experience. My bike! Hey, folks, that was good news for me. I looked at that motorcycle every time we would go past there. I would look and say, that's the one I want. I studied. I said, and good news! I got it. Amen. Hey, folks, that's good news. I remember when Carmen said yes when I asked her to marry me. I got down on my knees the whole 9 yards. I had proposed to her, honey, would you marry? She said, I gotta go ask my dad. Could you have asked your dad before I got down on my knees and went through this drama? He gonna say no. We were in college. Nobody gets married in college in their right mind. Notice I said in their right mind, amen. Because my mind definitely wasn't on studying at that time, amen. Hey, she finally said yes after she talked to her dad. Her dad said, I didn't send you to school to get a husband. I sent you to get an education. I thought, well, there you go. Amen. I knew we shouldn't ask him. No, but that was the right way. Amen. Hey, I think of my first child after 20 years of marriage. That was good news. That was good news. They said we couldn't have children after 20 years. We finally had one. That was good news. Good news. Amen. Folks, with all the good news, hey, the motorcycle was there, but guess what? I didn't have to receive it. I could have said, thanks, Dad, but no thanks. I just wanted to get good grades off because I wanted to get good grades. I could have not received that. My wife, when she said yes, I could have said, just kidding. I really didn't want to marry you. Sorry. Hey, I could have said that when our first child was born. I could have said, we don't want to accept the child. Leave him at the hospital. We don't want him. I'm sorry. Hey, what am I saying? With good news comes someone that's got to receive the good news. Somebody's got to receive it. I could have turned the motorcycle down, but I didn't. Carmen could have turned me down, but she didn't. I could have turned her down, but I was no fool. Amen. Hey, I know a good thing when I see it. Amen. And now she is with me forevermore. So what does the gospel mean? It is good news. It's glad tidings. It's a good messenger. It's God's message for failing man. It is for you and I to receive this message. Why is the gospel good news? So why it's been consistent these 18 years. Jesus said, preach the gospel. Paul says, the power of God and salvation. What does it mean? Good message, good messenger, good tidings, good news, glad tidings. Why is the gospel good news for us? Notice again verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Why is the gospel good news for us? This free gift of the gospel, why is it good news? In verse number 1, declare, when Paul says, I declare unto you, means to make known, to certify, to give, to understand. Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. He said, I preached this before. This is something that I previously stated to you. I've already preached the gospel. You previously have received it, and you're standing in it. Notice what Paul said to them earlier in this book alone. Go back to chapter number 1 in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And notice verse number 17. As to what Paul said about the gospel. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. And by the way, don't get me wrong. Baptism is good. Baptism is a step that you should do after you've been saved. But my friend, baptism is not going to get you to heaven. Amen. Churches are filled with people that have been baptized but never been born again. Amen. Hey, folks, you can get baptized till you're blue in the face. Baptism didn't die for your sins. Baptism wasn't buried, and baptism didn't rise again the third day. Say, preacher, what happens when I'm baptized? You go down a wet sinner, and you come up a wet sinner when you're not saved. But he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? To preach the what? The gospel, the good news. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, it's not about your baptism that's going to get you saved. It's about the gospel that's going to get you saved. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Come to chapter number 4. Notice what else Paul says about the gospel. Chapter 4 and verse number 15. Notice what Paul says here in verse number 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet had ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the what? The gospel. In other words, Paul said, a lot of people can instruct you, but you didn't get saved until you heard the gospel. A lot of people can teach you, but you didn't get saved until you heard the gospel. That's when you got saved. Okay, what other people teach you? The gospel is what saved you. Come over to chapter number 9. Chapter number 9 and verse number 16. Paul talking about the gospel here, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. In other words, he said, I don't have anything to brag and boast about preaching the gospel to you. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the what? The gospel. He said, I've got to preach the gospel to you. He says, nothing to brag on myself about. I've got to do this. Why? This is a free gift. This is given to you. This is gratis, as you would say. It's yours. It's free. I've got to do this. That's the least I can do is give you the gospel. By the way, folks, for you and I, that's the least that we can do is give somebody the gospel. It doesn't cost you an eye thing. It doesn't cost you anything. All it costs you is a bit of your time. So why is the gospel good news for us? Amen. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why is gospel good news for us? Chapter 15. And in fact, chapter 15, and notice what he says down there again, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you." Paul said, "You already know this, which also you have received." He said, "You have already taken it in, and wherein you stand." He said, "Then you're sure-footed on this, by which also ye are," say the word with me, "saved." Notice this, "if you keep in memory what I preached unto you." There were some that heard the gospel and called themselves receiving it, but really weren't confident in it. By the way, to be saved, you got to have faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarded them that diligently seek him. Amen. By the way, faith is confidence in what God said. He said, unless you believed in vain. And folks, there are a lot of people believing in vain. Believing emptily. You know, you got to at first admit that you're a sinner. A lot of people don't admit they're a sinner. Preacher, I don't have any sins. I just lie every now and again. Well, preacher, I don't have any sins. I'm just mean to people sometimes. And that's not really sin because they deserve it. Like, that's an excuse? Well, I don't really steal. I just took from my sister. That's not really stealing. Because what's hers is mine, and what's mine is mine too. So that's not really stealing. I don't steal. I just take money out of my mom's purse. That's not really stealing because it's in the house and I live here. You can try to justify it any way you want to. You know, I'm not a thief. I just take candy out of the cookie jar. I'm not really a thief. What would you call not taking or taking that which doesn't belong to you? It's definitely not borrowing. You know, you can't give back the cookie you ate. Well, I'm sure there are creative ways. There are creative ways, but nobody would like to eat it. What am I saying? He says, some of you might have believed in vain. You've got some problem with this. You've got issues. I've challenged you in previous chapters on difficulties you've had and divisions that you've had. And now we got disbelief. Some of you are not where you think you are. Notice verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul said, I'm giving you something that I already have taken in. I'm regurgitating that which Jesus Christ told me. He says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Why is the gospel good news for us? Because Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and it was a substitutionary death. What does that mean? Christ died for us. So that means he died as us and for us. In other words, when he went on the cross, guess who should have been there? We. We should have died. And so he says the gospel is such good news because it was a substitutionary death. He died in our place. He died for us. He died as us. Romans puts it like this. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ did what? Christ died for us. Amen. Hey, put yourself in. Would you put yourself in conviction or solitary confinement for someone as a known criminal and you did no wrong? The average person would not do it. I would. I've got a cousin, bless his heart, amen. He had been in and out of jail so much that finally his mother committed a crime. And when his mother committed the crime, he said it was him. And guess who went to jail? He did. He went to jail for his mom. And he spent considerable years in jail. Now, folks, that's pretty noble. But I guess he had been there so often, he kind of used to it. And he wanted to spare his mom from having to go through what he went through. So he said, it was I who did the crime. And he went to prison, and his mom got off. I don't know of many people that would do something like that. But Christ died for our sins. He died in our place. He died for us, and he died as us. Amen. Romans 5:8. Turn to Isaiah real quick. It was a substitutionary death. Say, preacher, I would never go to prison for someone. You're in good company. Not many people would. Isaiah chapter 53, and notice verse number 8, because Isaiah puts it like this in Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the what? Living. For who? For the transgression of who?
my people, what happened? Was he stricken? Notice verse number 5. But he was wounded for who? Our transgressions. He was bruised for who? Our iniquities. The chastisement of who? Our peace was upon who? Him. And with what? His stripes. What? We are healed. Now, folks, don't mistake that. A lot of people say, see, right there, I'm healed. No. You still got to receive it. You go to the doctor all you want to, but you're not going to be healed until you do what the doctor says. The doctor's not going to do anything against your wishes, and so you still have to receive the treatment. You still have to receive the information. You still have to receive the diagnosis and the prognosis that the doctor gives you and do something with it. You can't just say, well, because I went to the doctor, I'm healed. No, it doesn't work that way. Hey, what am I saying here? He says down there, by his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Notice verse number 6. All who? We, like sheep, have gone where? Astray. What happened? We have turned who? Everyone to who? His own way. And the Lord had laid on who? Him, the iniquity of who? Us all. What am I saying? It was a substitutionary death. Christ died for us, but he died as us. Amen. And the gospel is such good news, or the gift of the gospel is such good news because of what Jesus Christ did for you and I. Amen. The gospel is good news because Jesus died for us in our place, for us and as us. Go back, hold the finger in Isaiah. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Again, what are we talking about here? The gift of the gospel. Why is the gospel such good news? And back in chapter 15, notice in verse 4. In verse number 4, the Bible says down there once again, he was buried and that he what? Rose again. So he was buried. Let's talk about that. It was a scriptural burial. That's why it says good news. It was a scriptural burial. And it was also according to the scriptures. You got your finger in Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 53 and verse number 9. Everything happened the way it should. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again according to the scriptures. Notice verse number 9 in Isaiah chapter 53. And he made his what? Grave with who? The wicked. Was Jesus Christ wicked? No, he was not. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He borrowed the rich man's tomb. Because he had done what? No violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. What am I saying here? The gospel is good news because Christ died for our sins. It's a substitutionary death. He died for us and as us. It was a scriptural burial. And it was also according to the scriptures. And it's good news because he was buried for us and as us. Folks, we didn't have to go to a cruel cross and die. That's good news. We weren't taken down and buried. That's good news. He had a crown of thorns planted upon his head. He was pierced in his side. Folks, that should have been you and I. That's the payment for sin. He was spat upon. He was beat. He was mocked. He was scourged, beaten with a cat of nine tails by the Romans, which was a very painful thing. And then he had to carry his own cross. The gospel is good news because he died for us. We didn't have to go through that. That's good news. Amen. He was buried for us. We didn't have to go through that. That's good news. Folks, let's stop there. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. Verse 4. He was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Again, that's good news. Not only was it a scriptural burial, the substitutionary death, it was a supernatural resurrection. Christ rose from the grave. Look at the scriptures, amen. Well, that's the gospel. His death, his burial, and his resurrection is the gospel. That's the good news. Why? We didn't have to go through that. He died in our place. He died for us. He died as us. But there's a difference. He was a righteous man, and God's law dictated and mandated righteousness. There's no way we can. All of the lambs and all of the animals that were slaughtered, they were innocent animals, and their blood was brought in. cross and be buried and be bought in and put on the cross. And folks, guess what? We only have one life. In our life, if we died for ourselves, would not count for righteousness because we're not righteous. If we died on the cross, we would be dying for our sins. And guess what the outcome would be? Death and hell. If you die without Jesus Christ, the gift would do you no good if you don't receive it. Because you have to pay for your own sins. But Jesus Christ took our sins on himself as a substitutionary death with a scriptural burial, but he supernaturally rose again. You and I can't raise ourselves from the grave because we're not God. Neither do we have the power of God when it comes to raising ourselves. Jesus spoke about his resurrection before it even took place in Matthew 12:40. He says this. Go over there if you would. Matthew 12:40. Show you the scripture real quick. Matthew 12 and verse number 40. In Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus speaking about his own supernatural resurrection. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. He gives a good allusion, or a good prophecy from the Old Testament to show what was going to happen. Notice verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Some of y'all know the story of Jonah and whale. He said, that's the sign. He said, do you want a sign? Go back to the Old Testament prophet named Jonah. Go back to those minor prophets. Go back to his message. And he said, this is your sign. Verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be what? 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What is the outcome of Jonah? Jonah went into the belly of the whale, spent 3 days and 3 nights. What happened on the third day? He came out. He got spit out. Amen. Jesus said, that's what you have to look forward to. I'm going to die for the sins. 3 days, 3 nights, I'll be buried. And the third day, guess what? Like Jonah came out, I'm coming back. Amen. And he lets them know, hey, look, it's going to be a supernatural resurrection. Jonah was just a physical thing, but supernaturally, he was kept alive until the third day to come out. Guess what? I'm going to die for the sins. Supernaturally, I'm going to resurrect because I'm dying for your sins and I'm coming back. And guess what? He did. John 10:17, he said it this way. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Revelation 1:18, he said it this way. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. What did Jesus say? Hey, I was alive, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Why? He died for our sins. He died for our sins. Why is the gospel such good news? Because Jesus rose again the third day for our justification, to prove his deity that he is God, and to prove his victory over death, the grave, and hell, and that he has the keys of death and hell. And my friend, if you get saved, it will be unlocked for you. And guess what? You can have eternal life. Amen. The gospel is so important because you and I don't have to die for our sins. Jesus did it all. Folks, that's a great gift. That's a great gift. Go back to Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Paul said, some of you received it, some of you did, some of you didn't, according to verse 2, but which also ye are saved, and keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye had believed in vain. And verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. What did you receive, Paul? How that Christ died for our sins, that's the substitutionary death. Died for us as us, according to the scriptures, and that he was what? Buried. The scriptural burial. And that he what? Rose again the third day, according to what? The scriptures. That's the supernatural resurrection for you and for me. I was going to give you some closing thoughts here on this great gift. Why is the gift of the gospel good news for you and I? It's like being guilty of a speeding ticket. And you should get a ticket, but you get to go free. It's like being guilty of stealing, and you should go to jail, but you get to go free. It's like being guilty of anything you can think of, and you should be punished for, but you get to go free, forgiven, means that all of us are in need of a Savior, which is why Jesus came. There are many great blessings to those who receive God's free gift of salvation. But none is more important than having the perfect obedience and righteousness of Jesus Christ placed on the record next to our name. As Christians, we have no fear of the list being inspected, for when God sees us, he does so through the blood of his Son and finds us as holy as Christ is holy, because we are in Christ. Rather than relying on our efforts for our standing with God, we have the righteousness of Christ on our account. Think about that. When Jesus died for your sins and was buried and rose again, and when you received eternal life, God doesn't look at you. He looks at Christ. And you're in Christ. And so you get in because of the free gift of salvation. The key to the good news of the gospel is that we must see ourselves as guilty of sinners and deserving of punishment for our sins. Say, preacher, where should I look? The Ten Commandments is a good start. We talked about that in Sunday school. All of us are guilty of one or more of the commandments. And you're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments because nobody can keep them all. But you're guilty by it. Amen. You're guilty by it. And so when you look at this, God is willing to pardon and forgive us based on the good news of what Jesus did on the cross. Looking past you and your sins and me and my sins, God is willing to look past that and look to Christ and say, but he paid it all. You can't beat that. He sees you. He sees you in your sin. He sees me in my sin. He sees us in our filth. He sees us in our disobedience. And he says, I'm willing to look past that and see he who died for you. But you can't beat that. God willing to pardon and forgive us based on the good news of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Not what we did or can do. God, I can make myself better. No, you can't. God, I can live differently. God, I can turn over a new leaf. No, you can't. Lord, I can be good for the rest of my life. I promise. No, you can't. So stop trying. Stop trying. You and I get in on the merit of the gift of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And that's how you and I get in. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All we could do is cry guilty as charged. And with that guilt and burden, and no way to remove it, we have to come to God based on that good news and the gift of that good news, that that gift can be my gift. That Jesus died for my sins. He died as me, he died for me. And repenting or turning from my way is going this way. Trying to be good, trying to keep the Ten Commandments, but the gift of God is behind me. The gospel, Jesus died for my sins. He was buried, he rose again. I've got to stop my way and turn away from my way. And repenting, turn to Jesus Christ and receive him. Folks, going your way and my way is no good. But the free gift of the gospel is yours or mine's for the taking. Go to Romans chapter 5. I want to show you a couple of verses here that really stuck out for me. Romans chapter 5, dealing with this free gift. Romans chapter 5, notice verse number 12. Wherefore, by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world. And what's that word? Death. By sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so, folks, you and I fit in verse 12. Come down to verse number 15. But that is the offense, so also is the what's the word? Free gift. What's that? The free gift of the gospel. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, whom Jesus Christ have abounded unto what? Many. Not as it was by one that sinned, Adam, so is the what? Gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the what? free gift is of many offenses under justification. In other words, he said you can have a whole lot of offenses, but there's one gift for you, and that's the gift of God, which is salvation. Okay, how many your offenses are, they're all covered by the blood because Jesus died for all of your sins. He died for any of your sins, and he will give you justification for all of your sins. So the one free gift is good for many of your offenses. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense that reigned by one was ordained, which received abundance of grace. I don't have to receive God's grace, you know that. Guess what? There's nothing left for you to receive God's grace. The abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in my God, Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men in condemnation, that means we're all guilty sinners. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, as Adam, sinners, so by the obedience of one Jesus Christ, shall many be made what? Righteous. For the law entered that the offense might abound. That means that the Ten Commandments came in to show that we were big sinners. But where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. That as sin reigned, and so might what? Grace reign through righteousness. Being saved isn't a matter of simply saying some prayer. It's a choice from the heart to receive Christ. Notice verse 17 again. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which what? Receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. I said I could have turned down my motorcycle. I said that when my wife said yes, I could have turned her down. I said that many of the things that I received, I could have turned down, but guess what? I was known for. Jesus Christ has been turned down throughout the ages by many people. Some ignorantly, some openly, some mistakenly. Folks, don't you make that same mistake. We're talking about free gift. We're talking about the season of giving, and this is a gift that keeps on. But preacher, how can I tell about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you should be able to close your eyes and see yourself asking Jesus Christ to save you. And to save you because you knew that without him saving you, you would not go to heaven. You should be able to see that. If you can't see that point in your life where you turn to Jesus Christ, because folks, that is the most important time in your life. When you pass from death unto life, there's a lot of important times. That should be the you went from being a convicted sinner on my way to hell to being a safe sinner on my way to hell. Say, preacher, what should have happened? You should have had to change desire to freely live for Jesus. You should have had to change desire to freely give for Jesus and to learn of Jesus, giving him everything that he's asking of you. You should have had to change desire. Folks, if you didn't have a change desire, you may have passed up the free gift. And guess what? It's still being offered. It's being offered every day. Jesus is steady knocking. We're singing, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word away. Swing your heart's door wide and open. Bid him enter while you may. Why?
One stanza says, soon your heart grows cold and silent. Soon may pass this day of grace, and your pleading will cease, and you'll be in a place called hell. Folks, offer not when the gift of God is being offered. The free gift. You don't have to do anything. You just have to receive it. You have to acknowledge that I can't get to heaven on my own. That's what makes the gospel so good, and receive it as a sinner. For the payment of your sin. Jesus did the hard part. He died for your sin. Folks, when you're looking at something like this, there's something. Matter of fact, let me read you this verse. Genesis 2:16 talks about the tree. It says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest, notice the word, freely eat. And it closes in Revelation 21 and 27 with these words, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now Jesus said, freely ye have received, freely give. Have you received the gift, the free gift of the gospel of salvation? If not, receive it today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're looking around just for a moment. I don't know what you have done with the gospel, but Paul said this. He says, it is the gospel that saves you. He said, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Have you believed in vain today? Or have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved? Father, bless now the next moments in this invitation and help us to see where we stand in light of such great of a gift called salvation. Work in us and work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.